This is Audible.
Brilliance Audio. The Fall Risk by Abby Jimenez. Performed by Julia Whalen and Connor Crace. For all the women who choose the bear and all the men who do the work to understand why, may the forest be a little less scary one day. Content guidance. All my books are rom-coms, but I do like to include more serious topics within them that some may find triggering. If you feel trigger warnings or spoilers, feel free to skip the next paragraph. Everyone else, see below. This story is about a woman who is being stalked by a mentally ill stranger. There are mentions of suicide, kissing cousins, and discussions about firearms for the purpose of self-defense.
Seth, Chapter 1. The stairs are gone. I stood outside at the top of the landing, just beyond the door of my second-story apartment, on the phone with my best friend, and gawking at a straight drop-off. The demolished remnants of what used to be steps sat piled into a metal dumpster, and the carport below in a mess of splintered wood and rusted wrought iron.
"What do you mean, they're gone?"
Gabe asked. "Gone, as in someone removed them." Silence.
"I'm coming over."
He hung up. I dragged a hand down my mouth. I'd heard banging this morning, but they were re-roofing the carport, so I didn't think anything of it. The property manager had been doing repairs, finally. The place was dated, it needed it. And we did need new stairs. I just thought maybe I'd get a text first. I was searching for the number to call him when the door to the unit across from mine opened. A woman stood in the doorway. My new neighbor. I hadn't met her yet. She'd just moved in. Pretty. Around my age, maybe 27, 28. Brown hair. Bear spray in her hand. She balked in the threshold, looking at me like she might back up and slam the door and bolt it. Then she glanced at the missing steps and did a double take.
Where are the stairs?
I think they're in that dumpster. I gestured to the carport. I'm Seth. I'm your neighbor. I was about to call the property manager, I said, already dialing. He picked up on the second ring.
This is John.
Hi, John. Seth in apartment 16. Were you aware that my stairs are gone? A long pause.
Your stairs are gone.
That is correct. I heard water shutting off.
Are there workers there?
I peered around. None that I can see. He cursed under his breath.
I'll be there in 5.
I hung up. He's on his way. She wrapped her sweater protectively around herself.
I heard the banging. I just thought it was the carport thing.
Yeah, me too, I said.
Who do you think did it?
She asked. Probably a mistake, I said, leaning over the edge.
Oh, please don't.
I glanced at her. What?
That. You could fall.
I'm not going to fall. Trust me.
No, seriously, please.
I'm an arborist, I said. I spend my days hanging out in trees. I'm very good with heights.
Well, I'm not, and you're making me nervous. Also, you have an injury. What if you trip?
I peered down at my ankle. I was off the crutches now, but I was still wearing the boot. Okay, good point, I said. I guess I'm a bit of a fall risk. She looked relieved when I stepped back.
How did you get that?
She asked. Dead branch coming down. I had to jump out of the way.
Is it broken?
She asked. No, just a bad sprain. She nodded, looking around uncomfortably. I let out a breath and checked my watch. I was gonna get a coffee, I mumbled. I guess that's not happening anytime soon.
You don't have any in your apartment?
Unfortunately not. I'm sorry, what was your name? I asked.
I'm Charlotte.
Nice to meet you. John came jogging up to the building. When he got to where the stairs used to be, he stopped and looked around, perplexed. Told you, I called.
Son of a,
he muttered. He took out his cell and called someone.
Yeah, Guillermo, Your guys took down the wrong stairs. I said apartment 60, not 16. I've got tenants that can't get out. When are they coming back?
A pause.
Monday? No, it's Friday. That's the whole weekend. I don't care. I don't care. Put up something temporary.
Another pause.
Let me call you back.
He hung up and squeezed his eyes shut before turning back to us.
I think we're going to need to put you two up in a hotel. They can't get back here until next week. The concrete guys are already gone for the weekend. The railings aren't getting delivered until Monday morning. The earliest I can get you stairs is Monday by 5 o'clock.
I don't want to be in a hotel.
Charlotte said.
I don't really want to be in a hotel either, I said.
The landlord would pay for it,
John called.
That's not really the point. My stuff is here. I have a fish, I said.
Charlotte was nodding.
Well, I can't leave you two in an inaccessible building. It's a fire hazard, he said.
He looked around before coming back to us.
I could get a boom lift, just so you can get up and down in an emergency.
What's a boom lift?
She asked me. It's that bucket thing electricians use, I said. She shook her head.
I'm not getting into a boom lift, or using a ladder. I don't like heights. There's no way.
I mean, I'm okay just hunkering down, I called. I'd rather not be displaced.
Me either,
she said.
I don't need to leave. I can stay in my apartment for a weekend. It's just 3 days.
John didn't look convinced.
I still think I should get something out here.
If neither of us are going to use it, don't spend the money on a lift, I said. Just get us a ladder, in case we have an emergency.
Can you use a ladder with your foot? He asked.
If I'm motivated enough, I'll figure it out. He puffed air into his cheeks.
Okay, we'll compensate you for the inconvenience, prorate your rent, back out the days you're stuck up there, cut you a check for a hotel and food whether you use it or not.
I looked at Charlotte. She shrugged.
Seems fair,
she said quietly. We get paid to be trapped in our apartments.
I'm usually trapped in my apartment for free,
she whispered. I snorted and looked back at John. We accept. 3 minutes later, he came back with a ladder.
I'm really sorry, he said,
leaning it against the landing.
It happens, I said. Well, it actually doesn't, he said. But I appreciate you guys being cool about it. Is there anything I can get you to?
I looked at my partner in captivity. I'm good.
How about a bucket and a rope?
She called.
In case we need to haul up groceries or something.
Or lower lotion down, I said.
I got a laugh out of her. Silence of the Lambs reference, always a good icebreaker.
Sure,
John said.
And text me if you think of anything else.
We watched him leave from our second-story perch. When he was gone, she turned to me.
I really hope he doesn't get in trouble. He's so nice.
It's not his fault, I said. And I'm certainly not reporting it to anyone.
Me either. You're not putting this on YouTube or something, are you?
I wouldn't even begin to know how to do that, I said honestly. She smiled a little. She was still holding the bear spray. I nodded at it. You carry that with you everywhere? I asked.
It's more convenient than my gun. Smaller, too.
I choked.
Can we actually keep the ladder up here?
She asked. I blinked at her. Up here?
Yeah. It kind of freaks me out that someone can climb it.
I mean, it's no different than stairs being there.
It would just really make me feel better.
She peered up at me with soft brown eyes that I couldn't say no to for some reason. Okay. She was too scared to get close enough to the edge to help me, so I ended up dragging it up myself in my boot and all. Luckily, it was a lightweight one. Also, luckily, I was in shape enough to do it. I can't say that most people threw logs around for a living like I did. Why live on the second floor if you're this scared of heights? I asked, setting the ladder against the wall.
It's safer.
From what? She didn't get to answer. Someone was making caw-caw bird noises from the ground. I leaned over to see Gabe standing down there, keening like an idiot.
There you are, he said. Damn, you weren't kidding about the stair thing.
Charlotte popped her head out, and his eyes went wide.
Hello, he said. Who's this?
This is Charlotte, I said. She lives in the other apartment.
Hi.
She waved.
Hi. He grinned up at her. So what are you going to do?
He asked.
How soon until they get the stairs back up?
Monday.
Monday? Shit.
The sound of screeching tires turned us to a red Camaro fishtailing around the corner into the parking lot. It came to a skidding stop under the carport. A young woman in black yoga pants and Doc Martens threw the door open, leaned into the back seat for something, and then bounded from the vehicle with a baseball bat. She slid to a halt where the stairs used to be, panting. Charlotte looked over the ledge.
Izzy, I've been calling,
the woman said.
You were supposed to meet me 20 minutes ago. You didn't answer, and your location wasn't moving. I thought you were... Where the fuck are your stairs?
Charlotte blew out a breath.
I'm sorry. I got distracted. I didn't see my phone. I didn't mean to scare you.
Izzy dropped the bat in the grass and leaned with her hands on her knees, catching her breath. After a few moments, she looked at Gabe.
Who are you?
I'm Gabe. Who are you?
None of your business.
She straightened.
You're okay?
She called up to her friend.
Fine,
Charlotte said.
Some workers took out the stairs on accident. I can't leave for a few days. And who's this?
She asked, pointing at me. Seth, I said.
Seth what?
Seth Gonzalez.
Okay, listen up, Seth Gonzalez. If anything happens to her, I'll fucking kill you.
I glanced at Charlotte. Okay. Izzy turned back to Gabe, looking him up and down, made a little fake lunge, grabbed her bat, and left. I turned slowly to my neighbor while her friend drove off. Well, that was... She sucked air through her teeth.
I'm sorry. She gets aggressive when she's scared.
Like a cornered raccoon or something? She bobbed her head.
More like a wolverine.
Hey, I'ma call you, Gabe said from down below. Go inside.
I looked back at Charlotte. Excuse me for a moment.
Sure. Actually, I should probably try and get some work done,
she said.
It was nice to meet you.
I nodded. Yeah, you too. I went back into my apartment, and Gabe called me.
I'm not gonna lie, the friend was low-key terrifying, and also I was sort of into it. He said.
Huh.
Why do you think there was a sock on the end of that bat? He asked.
I have no idea, I said, rubbing my brow.
Dude, you fucking scored, he said. You've got the lawsuit of the century and a hot chick to hang out with?
I went to the window to look out at him getting into his car. Okay, first of all, I'm not suing anyone. I wouldn't do that to John. Second of all, we're not hanging out.
Listen to me, he said, going on, unfazed. Do not, and I cannot stress this enough, spend the whole time talking to her about trees.
I'm not going to talk to her about trees.
Okay, because you do that when you're nervous, it's all jacarandas, and did you know most trees are male?
Okay, I get it. And also, I probably won't even see her again.
What do you mean? You two are officially residents of the most exclusive penthouse in Burbank. Of course you're going to see her again.
My phone pinged with a text. John, outside with a bucket. Hey, I gotta go.
No trees.
Okay, okay. I went back out. John tossed me a rope and tied it to the handle of a white painter's bucket. I hauled it up and set it by the door.
Thanks, I called.
You got it. Seriously, let me know if there's anything I can do while you're up there.
John's girlfriend, Holly, came around the building in her scrubs. She was a hospice nurse. She worked a lot with our residential retirement home where I volunteered. I actually knew her before I knew John. It's how I found the apartment. She scrunched up her nose when she saw me.
Oh, man. Seth, we're really sorry.
It's fine, I said.
I'll let the ladies know you won't be making it to bonsai class tonight.
I appreciate it. She smiled at her boyfriend.
See you later,
she said, and gave him a quick peck. He grinned after her, smitten. I used to be smitten with someone once. Now I was divorced. Today, actually. It was like the universe wanted me sequestered this weekend,
so I had no choice but to mull over the very strange turn that my life had taken over the last year. No distractions, no daily trip to get coffee. Think about your ex and be sad. I went inside to see what else I had with caffeine in it, so I could stave off the headache I felt creeping in. I found a depressing, carbonated but caffeinated sugar-free soda that Cecilia left when she moved out, and I was too practical to throw it away. I didn't like to waste things, even things that tasted like shit. I took swallows of it like it was medicine. I watered my plants, fed my fish, stared out the window in my bedroom at the Black Mission fig tree. That was the reason I'd chosen this particular apartment after the separation last year. It was a great tree. Divorced. I still couldn't fully believe it. It's hard to process something like this when you did everything right. I could say, with 100% certainty, that I had given that marriage everything. I was faithful. I was an equal partner. I loved her with my entire soul. I just wasn't what she wanted. What she wanted was fucked up, to be totally honest, which made it a little easier to come to terms with. But still. Someone knocked on my door. I set my terrible soda down and went to answer it. It was Charlotte. With coffee.
Charlotte. Chapter 2. Seth had excused himself to take a call with Gabe, and I'd used that as my cue to escape. I slipped into my apartment, bolted the lock, and drew the chain across, and put my back to the door. The whole last 20 minutes had been a roller coaster of a lot of things. I actually thought for a split second that the stairs had been George. I was probably giving him too much credit. He was very good at finding me. He was excellent at terrorizing me. But removing a whole flight of stairs in half an hour, it was industrious, even for him. I let out a breath and called Izzy.
"Never do that to me again," she said, picking up on the first ring.
"I'm sorry," I said, sliding down to the floor.
"Of all the fucking days when I'm not picking you up for target practice."
"I know, it was unfortunate timing. I got overwhelmed and I didn't think to call you." She scoffed.
"Overwhelmed is right. I'm here thinking you're being murdered, and instead you're in a treehouse with a hot botanist."
"Is he?
Is he what? Hot? You have eyes, don't you?"
"No," I said. "Is he a botanist?"
"Yeah, he works for the city of Burbank doing tree shit. An arborist with a bachelor's in botany from Cal State."
"Huh. I knew he was an arborist. He'd told me. I guess I just didn't realize it was more than landscaping."
"He has no record, by the way," she said, "and his socials are clean."
"Good Lord, it's only been 5 minutes. I only needed 2. I roll my eyes. My best friend was a private investigator. Like, actually, and a very good one. I hired her 2 years ago when all this started. She was also a firearms instructor who taught self-defense classes. She knew mixed martial arts and had a touch of unbridled rage that needed an outlet the way working dogs needed jobs to make them tired. She always said it should have been her that George got fixated on. She could have handled it. She would have looked forward to it, a reason to kill a man, her favorite thing. If only stalkers were transferable." We sat in silence for a moment. "You know what's just absolutely wild?" I said. "The second I realized the stairs were gone, it was the safest I've felt in a year." "Yeah, I could see that," she said, softer now. I squeezed my eyes shut. "This is not what I thought today was going to be like," I said tiredly.
"What did you think it was going to be like?"
"I don't know. I thought there'd be stairs." She scoffed. "I guess I'm missing Valentine's Day on Sunday," I mumbled.
"Meh, it's stupid anyway."
"Not stupid to me." The only times I felt truly safe going out these days were when I was with Izzy's friend group, a posse of female ex-military active police who liked to go to brunch.
"I wanted a mimosa," I moaned.
No, what I wanted was to feel normal again. I wanted to wander a Target, walk alone on the beach, go on dates. The isolation was the worst part.
Well, the second worst part. The first was the afraid for my life at all times thing. But I used to be social. I used to work in an office with coworkers, and we'd go out for drinks, and I'd go on vacations and have lunches with people. Now I didn't. Now I worked from home. It was safer, less risk than having a parking garage to walk through to get to an office, a place of business that anyone could go into at any time, a routine that could be tracked and followed. Now, there were weeks that I didn't even leave the house, entire periods of time where it was just me in the four walls of my apartment alone because going to a bar or a restaurant or even the nail salon was too much exposure. I never felt safe. I never slept well. This one sick, twisted human had changed every aspect of my life. Sometimes it felt like he had already killed me, a part of me. And he made me weird. He made me the kind of person who carried around bear spray. So when I did meet a cute guy, he'd be like, "Wow, bear spray, huh?" And then I'd bring up my gun. God. "I think I'm going to run for a bit," I said, looking forlornly at my treadmill. "Maybe some weights after." Working out was one of the many things I did now to prepare myself for the potential fight for my life I might have to make one day. That and the self-defense classes I took with Izzy. I'd never been in better shape. My ass looked great, and nobody to see it. "Why don't you go hang out with the tree guy?" she said. "Why would I do that?" "Why wouldn't you do that? What else do you have to do? You've got the urban equivalent of a lumberjack across the hall, and he's single."
"How do you know?"
"Bitch, I know. His friend is single, too."
"What? You didn't even get his last name."
"Women solve entire murders on their podcasts. You think I can't find out all I need to know about some rando I met on the lawn?"
She had a point.
What was most disturbing was that, given all her detective skills, she still couldn't locate the one person we needed her to be able to locate. 2 months ago, George had violated his probation by failing to report to his officer. When they went to his house, he had moved. To where? Nobody knew. This wasn't good. It was the same thing he did before he showed up at my last apartment, having a complete psychotic break, peering into my windows from the bushes at 2 a.m. He'd had duct tape. He got a slap on the wrist for violating my restraining order, because of course he did. 1 week in jail that I'd used to move, again, and then probation. He should have been locked up. But they never do anything until it's too late. "Seriously, go over there," she said.
"He's probably busy."
"He's probably not. He's on temporary disability for the ankle thing. He posted about it on his Instagram a few days ago. He doesn't work from home, and he can't leave. You have a bored, captive audience."
"My favorite kind," I mumbled.
"Get up. Go make a fucking friend. Knowing your neighbors makes you safer."
She wasn't wrong.
"Fine," I grumbled. He did say he needed coffee. "Perfect. And fix your damn hair. You look feral."
I rolled my eyes. "Goodbye." I hung up with her and went to look in the mirror. I did look feral and tired and pale. He was cute, and I looked like someone who didn't live in a country with sun. I tried to make my pathetic little balcony nice enough to sit out there, but it was full sun facing and way too hot. My whole apartment was pretty awful, actually, which was sad considering how much time I spent here. I'd considered hanging things and painting, but again, what was the point? All that work and a lost security deposit for holes in the walls just to have to move again when George inevitably found me. I'd read that stalkers usually stopped once they fixated on someone else. At least if he was still obsessed with me, he wasn't doing this to another woman, some other girl who would never be the same. If I thought about it like that, it gave me a little peace, like my sacrifice was saving someone. Really, it was the only silver lining. That, and I now had excellent marksmanship. I could put 5 rounds rapid fire into center mass from 10 yards away while chewing gum and listening to an audiobook. I splashed water on my face and took my hair out of the ponytail it was in. It was kinky, so I tried to brush it, and I succeeded in making it frizzy and kinky, so I got in the shower. I didn't want him to think I was making some drastic effort on his behalf. He knew I wasn't going anywhere, so anything I did was for him. So when I got out, I threw my hair in a wet braid, tossed on some shorts and a t-shirt, flip-flops, and lip gloss. No mascara. I grabbed a bottle of iced coffee from the fridge and left. It was just the two of us on this floor. Our doors faced each other with a decent-sized breezeway between them at what used to be the top of the stairs. I had seen him a few times on my video doorbell. He never had girls over. He never had anyone over except for that Gabe guy. I remembered the first time Seth came hobbling home on crutches a week ago. I actually felt a little sorry for him. He'd been struggling to get his door open while he carried a bag of groceries, and I'd almost popped out to help. Then I remembered that's how Ted Bundy had lured his victims, and I changed my mind. I felt bad about that now. He seemed nice. I knocked. A moment later, he opened the door. "Hi," I said, smiling like I wasn't practically a wild animal at this point.
"Hello."
"I was wondering if you wanted to have some coffee?" I held up the bottle. His grin got bigger.
"Sure,"
he said, opening his door and standing back to let me in. I froze. Of course he'd invite me inside. It was polite. He was doing exactly what I should have expected him to do upon accepting my offer. Only, I didn't want to go in there. I didn't know him. Zero criminal history did not mean he was safe. George didn't have a criminal history either. Until he did. I also didn't want him in my apartment for the exact same reasons. What if Seth was bad, too? What if I was safe from my stalker at the moment, only to be trapped up here with another mentally unstable man who—
"Why don't we set up some chairs in the landing?"
he said, studying me. "Huh?" I said, snapping out of my spiral.
"The view's great,"
he said.
"It's covered. I've got a few beach chairs. We could hang out there."
He picked up on what I was feeling. I don't know how, but he did, and he was giving me an out. I was beyond grateful. I looked over at the area between our apartments. It was a great space. Now that the stairs were gone, it was sort of a covered balcony. And he wasn't wrong about the view. You could see palm trees over the top of the carport. It was nice. It was outside. It was a neutral space that felt very non-threatening. "Okay," I said. I waited while he hobbled in on his boot and procured two blue and orange striped beach chairs. He set them far back enough to keep me from being nervous about the ledge. The white bucket John had delivered was sitting by Seth's door. He flipped it over and set it between the chairs as a makeshift table. Then he limped back inside and came out a minute later with two glasses of ice with plastic straws in them. He handed me one. "Thanks," I said.
"Thanks for the coffee."
We sat in our chairs, pouring our drinks. He brought the straw to his lips and took a sip and closed his eyes.
"This is nice."
I smiled. It was nice. Izzy had good ideas.
"So, how do you like the building so far?"
he asked, looking at me. "I liked it more when I could leave." He snorted. When I didn't say anything else, he cocked his head.
"Did you know that we have terrible allergies because most trees in urban settings are male?"
I drew my brows down. "Seriously?"
"Yeah, it's—"
he stopped himself.
"You know what? Never mind. So what do you do for a living?"
he said, changing the subject. "No, I want to hear about this tree thing."
"Really?"
"Yeah. You can't just drop some random piece of tree trivia on me and then bail." He laughed a little.
"It's just, Gabe told me I'd do this."
"Do what?"
"Talk about trees. I do it when I'm nervous."
"You're nervous? Why?"
"You're heavily armed."
He gestured to the bear spray, which I still had. "Sorry, it's my emotional support bear spray," I said, putting out my lower lip. He laughed. "So, tell me, male trees?"
"No, it's stupid,"
he said. It's not stupid. I want to hear it. My allergies are terrible. The corner of his lip twitched.
Okay.
He sat back in his chair dramatically.
Every street in this city is a carefully cultivated allergen corridor.
I nodded. A hooking start. I'm listening.
Female trees produce fruit. Fruit falls, it makes messes, it attracts vermin. So most trees planted in urban areas are male. They put out pollen with no female trees to absorb it, so it ends up in the air instead.
I gaped at him.
It's true.
That is botanical sexism, I breathed. Also, that would make a great band name. He chuckled. What else? I asked. He eyed me.
Are you just asking me to be nice? We don't have to talk about trees.
No, I'm serious. What else? He thought about it.
Eucalyptus trees are highly flammable. It's the oil.
Bummer. They smell so good.
I know, but they're terrible in wildfires. California has the world's tallest tree, the coast redwood. They can live for thousands of years and they repel insects.
Really?
Yeah, and they have fire-resistant bark.
Wow. Thousands of years. Imagine living that long. All the things you'd see. I looked at him. How old are you? How long have you lived?
I'm 29. How old are you?
27.
A blink of an eye to a redwood.
I smiled. I gazed back out at the palm trees.
Gotta love Southern California weather,
he said. It really was perfect outside. Most of the U.S. was covered in snow, and here it was 70 degrees and sunny. I mourned the loss of Valentine's Day on a warm patio again. So, you have a fish? I asked.
Yeah, a betta fish.
Oh, does he have a name?
He does. Swim Shady.
I barked out a laugh. Is he the real Swim Shady, or...
All the other Swim Shadys are just imitating.
He said, totally serious. He was funny.
He was dying in a pet store,
he said.
You know how they sell them in those little cups?
Yeah.
Totally inhumane. A betta needs at least a 5-gallon tank. Almost all his color was gone. He was listless. So I bought him and nursed him back to health.
Wow, I said, impressed. How'd you learn how to do that?
It's easy. You join Betta Fish Reddit, ask an innocent question, and wait to get bullied.
That is the quintessential Reddit experience.
A time-honored tradition, really.
And look at you, refusing to abandon him to a hotel room with an exit. That is admirable.
Couldn't leave him behind to starve. He needs to eat twice a day,
he said. You could have put him in a smaller tank and taken him with you.
I promised him he'd never live in a cup again. I keep my promises.
I smiled. I liked that. To promises, I held up my coffee.
Promises.
We clinked glasses.
Seth, Chapter 3. So why was there a sock on the baseball bat? I asked. We've been sitting on our little outdoor veranda for the last hour, talking. She was great. More than great, actually. She was smart, funny. She liked to hear about trees. I kept getting a hint of her perfume every time a small breeze blew through. Made me hate the cypresses I loved just an hour ago for blocking the wind. I wasn't lying when I said I was nervous, but it had nothing to do with the bear spray. It had been a really long time since I'd been attracted to someone. I was beginning to think the feature had been turned off. This was an interesting development, for sure.
So, the sock,
she said.
If you swing a baseball bat at someone, they sometimes try to take it from you. So if you have a sock on there, the sock slides off when they grab the bat. It puts them off balance, and you get a second swing to break their skull.
She sipped innocently on her drink. You are slightly terrifying, I said.
Am I?
She grinned.
Thank you.
So why bear spray? I asked. I mean, instead of pepper spray. Isn't it illegal to use on humans?
It is, but I don't really care. Bear spray has better accuracy. It's got a 40-foot range. Pepper spray only has 10.
Huh. And you have a gun.
Guns,
she corrected. How many weapons do you own? I asked.
We just met,
she said. So, big numbers then. She poked at her ice with her straw.
Huge.
I laughed. Then her smile fell a little.
I have to protect myself,
she said. From what?
More like from who?
I studied her. Is it an ex or?
No.
She blew out a breath.
For the last 2 years, I've been stalked by a customer at the bank I used to work at.
I blinked at her. Do you have a restraining order? She nodded.
I do, but he doesn't care. And it's really hard to catch him.
Catch him doing what? What does he do?
Well, he started by just coming in a lot. He was creepy, and he only wanted me to help him, so I would, because that was my job. Then he went from coming in every week to coming in every day. Then multiple times a day. Then the threats started.
What kind of threats?
Weird stuff. That I was his one true spirit wife. I'm supposed to bear him sons. If he can't have me, no one can.
She shivered.
We banned him from the building, but the next day he was waiting for me in the parking lot, so I quit my job. Then he showed up at the next one. And the next one. He broke into my car and did disgusting things in there. Left me a gross letter detailing how he was going to kill me. He finds where I live. He'd go through my trash.
Your trash?
Yeah. It's not a crime, did you know that? You can go into someone's garbage and collect their lint balls. Totally legal. He tried to break into my apartment twice.
What?
Yep. It's why I live on the second floor, even though I don't like heights.
What happens when you call the police? She shrugged.
He's usually gone by the time they get here. The car and the death threat letter they couldn't prove was him. They did catch him this last time he tried to break in, but only because a neighbor noticed him looking in my window and they called the cops before he could run. He made bail the next day. It took months for the court proceedings, and then he only got a week in jail and probation.
So he just walks around free, I deadpanned.
Pretty much. They say they can't do anything until he does something more serious. So I carry bear spray.
She paused before continuing.
His name is George. He's 42, and he ruined my life.
She gave me a smile that didn't reach her eyes. I stared at her. I'm going to give you my number, I said. If you ever need me, you call me. I'll get here faster than the police.
Thanks. John's been really great about it, too. I had to leave my last apartment because George found me again. Izzy rented this one for me under her name. Hopefully he can't track me down this time.
God, no wonder she showed up with a bat.
She usually brings the one with barbed wire on it.
I cough laughed. She peered into her ice.
I've really been hoping that this move would be the last one. It's my fifth one in 2 years. I don't even want to hang frames on the walls. I can't rationalize the effort.
I looked out at her view. I get that, when nothing feels permanent. Completely different circumstances, of course, but I did understand. It took me a long time to hang frames, too. Then I accepted that my life was actually my life, and I might as well have artwork to look at. I puffed my cheeks out. I just got divorced. It was finalized today. She blinked at me.
Today?
It's fine, I said, putting up a hand. It's been a year. I'm over it. It was for the best. It still sucks, though.
How long were you together?
She asked. 3 years. Dated for two, married for one. She cheated on me for most of it.
Ouch.
Yeah. She shook her head.
I never understand people who cheat in relationships.
You want to hear the worst part?
Yes.
She cheated on me with her cousin. Her mouth fell open.
No.
Yeah. She met him on 23andMe.
She didn't.
I swear to God, second cousin once removed. When I caught them, they were both wearing the purple t-shirts from the family reunion, I said, talking around my straw.
Shut up!
Pecker Family Reunion 2023. It had a cartoon woodpecker on it right here on the chest. Her face cracked, and she started laughing.
I'm sorry, it's not funny.
No, it's hilarious, I said. I mean, not at the time, obviously. But in retrospect, I can appreciate it. The family resemblance is very strong. They look like siblings, which makes it so much more disturbing. She was dying. Her laughing made me laugh. I'd never actually poked fun at this. I was definitely in a place to, mentally. I meant it. I was over it. But I hadn't revisited it in the new, healed mindset I currently existed in. It was sort of freeing, finding humor in it. Finally.
Do they have the same last name?
She asked. Yup, I said, making a popping noise on the P.
Oh, Seth.
She bit her lip.
Have you dated anyone since?
No, I'm too afraid. Once incest is on the table, it's hard to trust again. She snorted.
I'm sorry. Today must be rough.
I shrugged. Sort of. I'm not sad she's gone. I mean, I was at first, of course. Then I realized she wasn't who I thought she was, and I'd been living a lie. And what I really missed was a person who didn't exist, if that makes sense.
It makes total sense.
Now I'm just grieving the life I don't have anymore. She sighed.
Me too.
I miss having someone to do stuff with, to do stuff for. Inside jokes.
Shows to watch together that you're not allowed to watch without each other,
she said. That is my favorite thing. I took another sip of my coffee and balanced the glass on my knee. Now I have to think about dating apps. I grimaced.
Oh, the apps are the worst.
To be honest, I'm way too introverted, I said. I probably won't do it.
Maybe you'll meet someone at work,
she said. I lolled my head to look at her. I hang out with a disproportionate amount of men in my field. And trees. Lots and lots of trees. Sometimes bushes, shrubs. Not very many women. She laughed.
3 years,
she said.
That's a blink of an eye for a redwood.
Well, when you put it like that, I guess it does feel like less of a big deal. I set my glass in the bucket. So, what do you do? I asked. She let out a sigh.
I do accounting. I do it from home. And I hate it. Not the accounting part. I like that. The at-home thing.
I guess you have to, right? With that guy out there?
I do. It's not really safe for me to have an office.
I don't know what I'd do if I couldn't be out in nature, I said.
You would slowly lose your marbles. Probably. I wouldn't know, says someone living that exact experience, doing that exact thing.
It's got to be hard to work from home and not even have a nice space.
I tried to fix up my balcony,
she said.
I got some plants.
And how's that going?
Let's just say I don't think you'd be impressed with my horticulture skills.
I laughed. Well, if you ever need any plant tips from a guy whose wife left him for her cousin...
Wait, she left you?
Yes, she did. She started laughing again.
I'm sorry,
she said, giggling.
I should probably be acting sympathetic right now or something, but I think I've forgotten how to behave around people. I'm so weird. It's from lack of socialization.
She tried to sober up. She couldn't do it. I didn't care. It was funny. They're getting married, I said. She choked. The invitations are going to say Pecker and Pecker. She howled.
So you can actually marry your second cousin once removed?
She said, wiping under her eyes. Apparently.
Imagine having to do that Google search to check.
I barked out a laugh.
Oh, so why'd you become an arborist?
She asked, still tittering. My dad was a landscaper, first generation from Mexico. He wanted me to take over the business.
Did you?
No, my brothers did. I wanted to do urban planning, not residential.
Why?
She asked. I like protecting the trees in the public parks for future generations. Did you know there's coastal live oaks in Brace Park that are over 200 years old?
Really?
Yeah. I used to play on them when I was a kid. I wanted to work with those, preserve a legacy, not plant date palms for rich people.
A man of principles,
she said, looking impressed. I just want to do something that matters, I said.
Don't we all?
I grinned. Hey, do you want some lunch? I asked.
Sure,
she said. I can make sandwiches, or we could order something.
Why don't we order something? That way you don't have to work. We can try our bucket system.
Okay. What do you want? My treat.
No, you don't have to pay.
Please, let me. An apology on behalf of a member of my gender for making you weird. She scoffed.
You know, I couldn't wrap my brain around it,
she said. What? The stalking?
Yeah. I mean, I know there's a mental health component. The guy is definitely not all there. But why me? I'm not that interesting.
She was, though. She really, really was.
Charlotte, Chapter 4. My video doorbell vibrated, letting me know there was movement outside my door, and for the first time in literally years, my stomach didn't drop when I saw it. I opened the app to see Seth standing on a stool in his boot, hanging deck lights. We'd hung out all day yesterday. All day. We'd gotten tacos for lunch, his treat. A few hours later, we were starting to talk about dinner when our best friends showed up unannounced at the exact same time, bearing gifts. Gabe brought tamales from his mom, enough for both of us. Izzy brought pupusas. They'd left together to go get drinks. She liked that Gabe had brought us food, and apparently Izzy's brand of terrifying was Gabe's type. We'd brought out Seth's coffee table to have somewhere to eat. I dragged out an area rug for underneath it, and then he carried out a floor lamp when it started to get dark. The landing was starting to look like a living room. I smiled at my door camera app and turned on the speaker. Hi, Seth. He stopped with his hand on the hook he was installing and grinned in the direction of my voice.
Good morning.
What you doing?
Installing some lights. Ambience matters.
I laughed. I'm going to hop in the shower. I'll be out in a bit, I said. Coffee?
Yes, definitely.
I jumped out of bed and ran to the bathroom. This time, I did put makeup on after my shower. When I came out with iced coffees half an hour later, he was just finishing the lights. It looks good, I said, smiling up at them. Like a patio at a really nice restaurant.
Thanks,
he said. I let out a happy sigh. I'm so glad I get to be outside. You know what I miss so much?
What?
Hanging out by the pool. This I wouldn't do even with Izzy's militia of girlfriends. Too open, too indefensible. And the thought of that creep seeing me in my bathing suit made me feel physically ill.
We should bring some plants out here,
Seth said. Yours. You don't want mine, trust me, I said, putting my straw in my mouth.
How do you know? Show me.
You want to see my balcony of death?
It's that bad, huh?
2 minutes later, we were out there.
It actually is that bad,
he said, looking around in wonder. I told you. He crouched to examine a succulent.
Maybe this could be... Oops. Nope. That's dead.
He pivoted to look at me.
Thank you for inviting me to your rotunda of root rot and sadness. I think the razor wire on the railing really pulls it all together.
I laughed. So you have no advice for me then?
I do. Don't buy any more plants.
Okay. I'm going to let that slide because I laughed really hard at the cousin thing yesterday, but this is the only freebie you get to make fun of me. He flashed a smile that creased his eyes and made something flutter in my stomach. It had been so long since I'd felt like a woman, since I'd flirted and blushed and felt safe having a man in my space. I didn't think twice about walking him through my apartment just now. Seth was a man I wouldn't mind meeting alone in the woods. He was warm and kind and sweet and devastatingly handsome. Honestly, it was ridiculous. He looked like a brown-eyed Brandon Sklenar. Tan, tall, strong, but funny and self-deprecating. Imagine having this and picking your cousin.
You know, if you want, I can hang some of these frames,
he said, closing the slider behind him and nodding at the stack of prints I'd left leaning against my gun safe. Well, if you feel you need a project.
Yeah, let's do it. Unless you want to paint first.
He looked at me. I wasn't planning on it. No point in losing my deposit for a few weeks of color if I have to move. He put his hands on his hips and studied my bare walls.
Let's make a deal.
He looked back at me.
We paint your walls, and if you leave, I'll paint them back to white and stucco the holes so you don't lose your deposit.
I eyed him. Why would you do that?
Because this place is fucking depressing.
I snorted.
Seriously, what else do we have to do? John's probably going to Home Depot today anyway. He could pick up supplies.
I didn't answer. He peered at me gently.
Look, I know what it's like to live in a place like this, and I get why you're doing it. But then it also feels a little like he's winning.
I let out a breath. He was winning. He'd been winning for a very long time. Seth was right. I guess if I had to be backed into a corner, the corner should at least be the color I wanted it to be. Okay, I said. Let's paint. Seth texted John, who was, in fact, on his way to Home Depot. We sent colors I wanted matched down in the bucket, then we waited on our private balcony while we drank iced coffees and ate cereal Seth had in his apartment. I didn't bring the bear spray. We were chatting about Persian silk trees. I brought them up. They were my favorite with their wispy pink flowers, when a California poppy retirement home transport bus pulled up to the carport. Seth's eyes went wide.
Shit.
What? I said, looking back and forth between him and the bus. The door opened, and old ladies started trickling out. He turned to me.
Look, I'm going to apologize in advance for anything you might hear right now.
Who are they?
I teach a bonsai class at their retirement home,
he said, getting up.
They are obsessed with me, and they have no filter. I won't be offended if you go inside. Actually, you should definitely go inside. Now. Right now.
I shook my head. No way. He stared at me.
What do you mean, no?
Old ladies with no filter? No, I'm not going inside.
Please?
Uh-uh. He slumped.
Okay. Don't say I didn't warn you.
We stood as close to the edge as I was comfortable with, watching a dozen gray-haired old women with canes and walkers inch their way toward the location where our missing stairs were supposed to be. The leader shielded her eyes from the sun and spotted us.
I see him! Hurry up, ladies! Jesus, we don't have all day! Seth! We came as soon as we heard!
Hi, Agnes.
He sounded slightly defeated.
What are you doing here? Aren't you missing Bunko?
Screw Bunko! We wanted to come give you our support! We thought you were dead when you didn't show yesterday! I said his divorce is final today. Valentine's Day is on Sunday. He's offed himself!
I choked. Seth rubbed his forehead.
Agnes, I have not offed myself, as you can see. I'm perfectly fine. We just had a little construction issue. I'll be back on Tuesday to help you with your trees.
He's not offing himself. For what?
A second woman said, edging her walker to the front of the crowd.
Divorcing a wife who never should have had him to begin with? Serves her right that you divorced her. She was a whore.
Seth glanced at me with an I told you so look.
Okay, Dorothy, I don't like that language, remember? We said we weren't calling her that anymore.
Well, she is a whore.
She's a cousin fucker is what she is,
someone volunteered. I leaned in.
Wow, you just told them all the business, I whispered, trying not to laugh.
Well, in my defense, they are very good listeners with not so great memories, or so I thought.
he said quietly. I sucked air through my teeth.
Cousin fucker really stays with you, I said.
Who is that up there with you?
Agnes said.
This is my neighbor, Charlotte,
Seth said. Agnes took the glasses off her head and put them on to squint up at me.
Oh, she's pretty. She is pretty,
someone parroted.
Have you seen his six-pack thingy yet, hun?
Someone asked. Dorothy twisted to look at her.
What thingy? The muscles on his stomach. When did you see that?
A tiny woman from the back asked.
When he was lifting up Betty's tree to put it on that shelf, his shirt went up. Oh, I saw that. I counted 8, though, not 6.
Seth coughed into his fist.
Well, have you?
Dorothy asked me.
Seen it?
Not yet, I called. It's on my list.
Is it?
He whispered out of the side of his mouth. It is now, I whispered back.
We baked you Valentine's Day cookies, Agnes said. Except Blanche, who couldn't follow directions if her life depended on it. She brought Nadia cakes cupcakes instead. You can share them with your lady friend.
Thank you,
Seth said. We lowered the bucket. A few minutes later, we had more desserts than we could eat in a year, and Seth's guests were leaving. Once the bus was loaded, the driver came over. Seth crossed his arms.
Marco? Hey, man, sorry, I had to bring him. Did you, though? They were worried about you. We all are. Bro, you don't have stairs. We started a GoFundMe.
That did it. I was laughing so hard I had to walk away. Seth talked over his shoulder.
You keep laughing and I'm not sharing my cookies with you.
I wheezed.
I don't need the GoFundMe,
Seth said.
And please text me next time you're bringing the girls over. I would have liked to mentally prepare. You got it, bud.
He gave Seth finger guns.
We're all praying for you. Okay, thank you.
Marco left. I was still cracking up even after the bus was gone. I'd taken the top plate out of the bucket. Pink, heart-shaped sugar cookies with the word whore piped on them in a circle with a slash through it. I died. I held one up, and Seth stood there with his arms crossed, trying to look serious and failing miserably.
That's Ruth's blue ribbon recipe,
he said.
She makes them for her church bake sales.
Of course she does. Did you see this one? I asked, showing him a cookie with 8-pack abs piped onto it. The Seth lore goes deep over there at California Poppy.
Those women are sexually objectifying me, and you think it's funny?
What are they like when you're on the ground? I asked.
Very grabby.
Ha! He held in a laugh. I'm sorry, I said. Is there really 8, though? Is that possible?
I'm not telling you. My carefully sculpted washboard abs are none of your business.
I bit my lip and closed the gap between us until I was looking up at him with just inches to spare. Okay, I said. I won't ask you about your smoking hot bod anymore.
Good.
You're not a piece of meat.
No, I'm not.
He agreed. And I want you to feel safe hanging out with me.
I don't feel safe,
he said with mock seriousness.
Not at all.
Aw, what can I do? He arched an eyebrow.
Can I have the bear spray?
You really want to keep me off you?
Come to think of it, no.
We smiled at each other. We were so close, I could feel the heat from his body. I liked the heat. He smelled good. I liked the hint of a beard he had, the way his forearms flexed when he was pulling up the bucket, his broad smile, and his deep brown eyes. I liked that little old ladies baked him cookies, and he had a rescue fish, and he talked about trees. Seth was my type. Seth was probably everyone's type. I wondered if I was his. His eyes dropped to my lips. Mine dropped to his. Someone cleared their throat from below. We broke eye contact and peered over the side.
I've got the paint,
John said, looking uncomfortable. We stepped back from each other, instantly embarrassed. At least I was.
Thanks,
Seth said, running a hand through his hair.
We gotta empty the bucket. Give us a second.
We transferred the cookies, somehow managing to not look at each other. When we were done, he lowered it down to John, and I stood there, not sure what to do with myself. I had to fan my face because my cheeks were getting hot. Do you want me to help you pull it all up? I asked.
No, I got it. You don't like the ledge,
he said. Okay. I put a thumb over my shoulder. I'll just start taking off the light switch covers.
Good idea,
he said. And I fled into my apartment.
Seth, Chapter 5. How's it going in the eagle's nest? Gabe asked from my speakerphone. I took my boot off and looked at my bruised ankle. I'd put too much weight on it today. It was throbbing. I shouldn't be doing half of the lifting and moving I'd been doing, but the urge to do things for Charlotte was overriding my common sense. We'd spent the whole day painting her apartment. It looked great. It was after 8 p.m. now. We'd just eaten dinner, pizza and beers on the landing, and we'd split up to shower. We were meeting back outside in half an hour to eat inappropriate cookies and watch a show on my laptop that we'd both been wanting to see. It's going, I said.
Is she cool?
Gabe asked. I tossed my boot next to the bed. She is beyond cool. Cool doesn't even cover it. I felt like we were on some epic 24-hour first date. It wasn't a date, of course. It was just a weird circumstance that we found ourselves in that she was probably just making the most of. I was afraid to imagine it was more than that. It was definitely more than that for me. I liked her. I hadn't felt this way in a long time. It was like fate conspired to place the perfect woman in the apartment across from mine, and then it knocked out the stairs for good measure, and my only job was to make her interested in me, which I wasn't sure I was actually doing. We had a little moment earlier, but I think she was just being playful. The flirty stuff from her ceased after John showed up. Maybe it wasn't flirting at all. I need to ask you a favor, I said, peeling off my shirt.
Sure, what's up?
Can you deliver something to me tomorrow? And don't tell Izzy what it is.
I'm not gonna tell Izzy.
You better fucking tell me,
a woman said in the background. I paused, with my thumbs hooked to pull my pants down. Is she there?
Technically, I'm at her place.
The phone muffled, like he had a hand over it.
If my best friend doesn't want me to tell you something, I'm not gonna... Ow! Shit, stop that! No!
There was shuffling. Then Izzy got on the phone.
What exactly is it that I'm not supposed to know?
I just want to surprise Charlotte with something, I said, tossing my pants in the hamper. I don't care if you know, but please, can the two of you keep it a secret? She paused.
Is it a nice thing?
Of course.
Fine.
She handed the call back to Gabe.
Damn, that hurt, he said to her. We need to have a safe word, and you should not be biting people while they're on the phone. Wait till after.
He came back to me.
So what's the thing you need me to get?
I'll text you. I sat on the edge of the bed. The ladies showed up today, I said.
Shit. For real?
Yep. Gabe started cracking up.
What did she think of that? He asked.
She thought it was hilarious,
Izzy said from the background.
Also, she wants to see the abs.
I snorted. I said I didn't want to be treated like a piece of meat. I actually didn't mind. At all. Not from Charlotte, anyway. There was a shriek on the other end of the line. The shriek was Gabe's. Then he started giggling. I pinched the bridge of my nose. I'm hanging up now, I said. He hung up first. I got up, shaking my head, hopping on one foot to go feed my fish. The fish I'd saved from a life of imprisonment in a too small cell. I think the reason I pushed myself today, the way I did, was because I hated the way Charlotte's world had been shrunk. If she was going to live in a cage, I wanted to help her make the most of it. Soften it any way I could. I always thought of the famous quote, "Pain is inevitable, but suffering is optional." I didn't want her to suffer anymore. She didn't deserve what had happened to her, and the insult to the injury was the way she was forced to live because of it. I knew it was really early on, and we didn't know each other very well, but I was protective of her. Whether she knew it or not, I was in. And once I was in, that was it. I'd do anything for the people I cared about. And I cared about her. Probably more than I should.
Charlotte, Chapter 6.
"Have you ever heard of the orange peel theory?" Izzy asked.
"No, what's that?"
It was midnight. I was lying in bed. Seth and I had said goodnight half an hour ago after eating way too many horror cookies and watching Netflix from his laptop on the landing.
"You give a guy an orange and ask him to peel it for you," she said. "It tells you what kind of person he is."
"How?"
"Because it's such a small ask. If he complains about it or forgets, he's probably going to complain and forget to do other shit that's more important."
"Okay."
Gabe peeled an orange for me.
I smiled.
"Really?" "Look, he's not my type, okay? I'm attracted to red flags and power. He's way too soft for me."
"But?"
"I don't know. He's goofy in a way that gives me a hard-on. We went to IKEA."
"You went to IKEA?"
"I know, I know.
You know what they say about that store, right? You don't let a man take you to IKEA unless you're serious, because it makes you imagine a life together."
"I'm not imagining a life with Gabe."
She said his name like it tasted bad.
"He's got a Dungeons and Dragons towel hanging on the wall of his bedroom. I cannot date that, no matter what he can do with his tongue."
I blanched.
"I just wanted you to know that I approve of Seth's best friend."
"And that's important. Why?"
"Because you can tell a lot about someone by who they hang out with. He's got good people around him."
I squeezed my eyes shut, as if Seth needed anything else to recommend him.
"I think I almost kissed him earlier," I said. "I lost my mind for a second, forgot who I was." "Why can't you kiss him?"
"Because it's not safe for him. I can't kiss anyone. I have this creep who thinks I'm his celestial wife. You think he's going to be any less dangerous to someone I date? Maybe even more. It's not fair to him. I wouldn't wish my situation on anyone."
She didn't argue, because she knew I was right.
"Not that he's into me," I mumbled.
"He is."
I sat up on my elbows.
"How do you know? Did Gabe say something?"
"No, I couldn't waterboard it out of him. I think he wanted me to try." I scoffed and flopped back down.
"Because he'd be an idiot to not be into you," she said.
"And as for George, I know you don't think so, but you're ready for that sick motherfucker. If he ever shows up again, he's going to rue the day he messed with you."
"You think so?"
I said, rubbing my forehead.
"You're lethal. And I know this because I made you that way, and I'm very fucking good at what I do. You just need to believe it the way I believe it."
I blew out a breath. I did believe it, objectively. Could I take down an attacker or put a bullet between his eyes? Yes, in theory. But what I was trained to do in a controlled environment on soft wrestling mats or shooting ranges without any of the variables of a real-life encounter was very different from actually doing it. I didn't know if I could. George terrified me, and the terror made me weak. I couldn't honestly say who I'd be if I came face to face with him. Would I freeze? Or would I fight? I hoped I never had to find out.
"So what do I do about Gabe?" she asked. "The usual stuff isn't scaring him off."
"Why do you want to scare him off? Maybe he'll make you happy. Don't be like me, condemned to a life of celibacy and loneliness."
"The celibacy is optional."
I bobbed my head.
"True. I can always ask him for money," she said. "That usually works."
"Huh." We went quiet.
"Izzy?"
"Yeah?"
"Red flag guys aren't your type. They're your pattern." There was a long pause.
"Why'd you have to come for me like that?"
"Because I love you. I want to see you happy.
I think you pick toxic men because it's what you think you deserve, and then you chase them off, or they prove they're exactly what you think they are, and they leave you, and you think you deserve that too. You don't. You are very worth loving and sticking around for. Silence. I love you too, she said. I'm probably still gonna chase him off, though. Why? She sniffed. Because patterns are hard to break. Yes, they are. But I hoped she did it anyway. We hung up a few minutes later. I was about to go to sleep when my phone vibrated. A text from Seth. I grinned and called him.
Charlotte,
he said, picking up immediately. Did you just send what I think you sent me?
An unsolicited deck pic? Yes. Yes, I did.
I snorted. If you trimmed those hedges, it would look bigger, I said. He laughed.
I wanted to show you that tree I told you about. It's the one behind the barbecue.
Oh, yeah, I said, zooming in. I can see it. The little initials you carved into it.
Long, long before I had the respect I now have for oaks. You'd never catch me doing this today.
Of course. So this is your parents' house?
Yeah.
It seems nice.
It is,
he said.
You should come meet them.
Meet your parents?
Yeah, they'd love you.
They'd love me? The girl you've known for less than a blink of the eye to a redwood?
Yes, but we are not trees, though. It's much, much longer for me. And much more important.
I went quiet on my end. Izzy was right. Seth was a little into me, and I had to put a stop to it. Seth, you know how we talked about fall risks? I said.
Yeah.
I paused. I think you are a bit of a fall risk for me. I could practically feel the smile through the phone.
You're a fall risk for me, too.
That's not a good thing, I said. I am not in a place where I can do that right now.
Why not?
I let a breath out through my nose. I didn't want to get into it, mostly because I was afraid I'd tell him my reasons and he'd try to talk me out of them or tell me it was okay. The truth was, it wasn't okay, even if he thought it was. Imagine me as someone's girlfriend. Moving every few months, being on constant alert, jumping at every noise. Can't go anywhere, can't do anything, because even though 99% of the time George doesn't show up, I'm worried that he will. I'm not the kind of girl you bring home to your parents, because I'd be checking the rear view the entire way there. I'd be worried I'd be exposing them to danger, that their trash would be sifted through next, that the next 2 a.m. knock at the door would be at their house instead of mine. This thing Seth and I were doing, it wasn't real life. I'm not really carefree and fun. And the second those stairs went back up, he'd see that. When I didn't answer, he changed the subject.
Hey, tomorrow morning, I need you to not check your door camera,
he said. Why?
Because I'm going to be doing something out there, and I don't want you to see it.
What are you doing? I asked.
Don't worry about it. I'll text you when it's okay to come out.
I smiled into the phone.
Tomorrow's Valentine's Day,
he said.
Not that the thing I'm doing is for that, unless you want it to be for that.
It cannot be for that, I said sadly. There was a disappointed silence on the other end of the line. Good night, Seth.
Good night, Charlotte.
Then we hung up. Like he was a million miles from here, and not just a few easy steps away from my front door.
Seth, Chapter 7. Ground control to tower, Gabe said when I answered the phone. I've got the thing. I came out to the landing. Izzy and Gabe were both down there. She was wearing his level 7 fireball shirt, knotted at the waist. Gabe had a hickey.
I picked up some stuff to make mimosas,
Izzy said as I lowered the bucket.
She'll like it.
Thanks. I brought up 3 buckets worth of precious cargo. Let us know if you need anything else, Gabe said after the last bucket made it to the landing. Will do. He turned to Izzy. Hey, you want to go get boba?
I need $200,
she said. He pulled his face back. For boba?
No, for me. For stuff.
$200?
Yes.
He pulled out his phone. Is Venmo okay?
What are you doing?
She said, incredulous. He looked up at her, confused.
I'm sending you money.
Put that away.
Why? I thought...
Put it away, Gabe.
She stomped off. He blinked after her.
Is Zell better?
No!
She spun on him.
You're supposed to be turned off by that.
By what? You needing $200?
She threw up her hands.
By me needing anything. By me asking for help or wanting to rely on you. That's what men do. They run when you need them.
He shook his head.
I'm not gonna run. Why would I run? I like that you need something. It gives me something to do for you.
He looked at her earnestly.
I like doing things for you.
She stared at him. Then she marched back over, muttered,
Fuck patterns.
And threw her arms around him and kissed him. He looked stunned for a split second. Then he kissed her back. Really kissed her back. They were full on making out on the lawn. They were a very, very odd couple. It was Sunday, Valentine's Day. I'd never cared for this holiday. It always seemed to be an excuse to spend money. Today, it felt like an excuse to make Charlotte smile, which meant I was now a fan. I got to setting everything up, ordered breakfast for us, put the champagne and orange juice Izzy brought on ice. Then I texted Charlotte and told her to come out. I waited with a single carnation in my hand. The second the door opened and she saw what I'd done, she gasped.
You didn't.
She breathed. I'd set up a kiddie pool on the landing, brought every plant I owned out to brighten the space, turned on the string lights, draped the coffee table with a beachy pool towel, made a mimosa bar. It came out great. Our own little oasis. She put her hands over her mouth. The sparkle in her eyes made the throbbing in my ankle worth every painful step I'd taken that morning. I heated up water on the stove, I said. I didn't want it to be too cold for you to get into.
Seth.
I smiled. Happy Valentine's Day.
Charlotte. Chapter 8. Seth took off the boot to get in the water. He did not take off his shirt. I can't believe you're still wearing that, I said from my side of the kiddie pool.
You haven't unlocked this level yet,
he said. How do I unlock the level?
You know how to unlock the level.
He grinned. God, he was perfect. The pool changed my brain chemistry. I couldn't believe he'd done it. The most thoughtful, sweet Valentine's Day, not for Valentine's Day, gift I'd ever received. It was all I could do not to crawl over to him on my hands and knees and kiss him right there where he sat. The carefree me of 2 years ago would have. The me of today didn't move.
You want another drink?
He asked. No, I'll take that orange, though. He leaned over to the little mimosa station he'd set up next to the pool and grabbed it. Can you peel it for me? I asked.
Sure. So I was thinking about your balcony,
he said, working the skin off.
What about fake plants?
That's what I'm reduced to now, I said, watching him peel the orange, a little sad.
We could wrap the razor wire in plastic vines and fairy lights, unless you're going for prison yard chic. If so, you nailed it.
I laughed a little. He finished the orange and handed it to me. Thanks, I said. Then I sat there, staring at it bleakly. He eyed me.
Everything okay?
Just something Izzy said about oranges.
What?
Nothing. He picked up his drink.
Gabe and Izzy dropped off the pool for me this morning,
he said.
Izzy asked him for some money. He tried to give it to her, and she got upset.
I scoffed.
What?
Gabe is clearing hurdles he doesn't even know exist, I said. I handed half the orange back to him. He popped a piece in his mouth.
And what about you?
He asked.
Any hurdles I can clear?
No. They were way too high. My cell phone rang. Izzy. Speaking of the devil, I leaned over and picked it up. Hey, where are you? On the landing? Go inside, right now. I immediately started climbing out. What happened?
Just get in the apartment. Is Seth with you?
Yes?
Good, take him with you.
Seth was already following my lead, looking worried. The second we got in my door, I bolted it. I put her on speaker. I'm inside, tell me.
Someone made a video. You're in it. What? I think it was the downstairs neighbor or something. It's viral. It's about the missing stairs and how you guys set up on the landing. The address is on the building. There's a clip of you sitting in a beach chair.
My stomach tanked.
I DM'd her asking if she can take it down, but she didn't reply, Izzy said.
Seth was already heading to the door.
Where are you going? I asked.
Stay inside,
he said. He grabbed the ladder, fed it down to the ground level, and was gone in less than 30 seconds. I peered out the window and watched him disappear under the landing, heard him knocking on the door of the apartments under us, muffled talking. I closed the blinds and sat at my little dining room table. I was shaking.
Look, Izzy said. The chances that he saw it are small. I'm sure that guy's not sitting around watching reels.
That's not even the point, I said, putting my forehead in my hand. The point was that I lived in fear. Some silly video that I would have laughed at 2 years ago was about to give me a panic attack. The point was that I couldn't enjoy my life. I was furious at the system that allowed this, the law enforcement and courts that didn't protect me, the mental health support systems that weren't in place to help George before he became who he was, the society that told me my job as a woman was to smile and be nice to a man who gave me the creeps until it went on so long it turned into this. And I was so tired, sick to death of living this way. There was such a real part of me that wanted him to find me, wanted to get it over with one way or the other because I was so done being afraid. I hung up with Izzy. When Seth came back 5 minutes later, he was limping. He'd taken his boot off for the pool. Then he climbed up and down a ladder on his injured, unprotected ankle. It was already so bruised, and now he'd probably exacerbated it. I felt bad that he'd been running around on it for me. I felt bad for all of this.
They took the video down,
he said.
I explained everything. They were very understanding.
Let me get you some ice, I said, getting up to grab a sandwich bag. I can't believe you went down a ladder on that.
Well, I said I would,
he said, hopping to the table.
If I was properly motivated.
I laughed a little. He took a chair, wincing as he elevated his foot. He looked down at himself.
I'm dripping all over your kitchen.
I can get you a towel. He peeled his wet shirt off instead. He balled it into his lap, completely oblivious. I stood there, gawking.
Ooh, for fuck's sake. There were eight.
The Ziploc I was holding tipped in my hand, and I dropped a few ice cubes. I bent over to grab them, and I kicked them instead, so I ended up chasing them all over the kitchen in my bathing suit. He watched this with amusement.
You okay over there?
Fine, I said, my voice a touch too high. I finally got the last one and dropped it in the sink. I did what I could to regain my composure, and I closed the zipper seal and handed him the bag. He was grinning at me. I crossed my arms.
You know, you shouldn't just pull those out without letting people know they're coming, I said.
I need to announce them? Like, the abs are entering the building.
Stop.
I mean, the ladies did soft launch them. It's not like you didn't get a heads up.
Stop. He started laughing.
All day, you're trying to get my shirt off.
Well, I wasn't as ready as I thought I was.
I flopped into the chair across from him.
Why are you this fit anyway? It should be illegal.
Trunk strength is very important in my line of work.
Tray puns, of course. He smiled at me. and my face softened the tiniest bit. Seth. The right guy at the wrong time. No time was ever going to be the right time until all this was over. I squeezed my eyes shut for a long moment. When I opened them, he was studying me. "I don't ever want the stairs to come back," I whispered. "I want it to stay like this."
"It can keep being like this."
"No, it can't. Not when he can get to me."
"I won't let him get to you,"
he said.
"He will have to go through me first."
"That's what I'm afraid of." I looked at him, my eyes sad. "I really like you," I said quietly.
"I really like you too, and not just in a neighborly way."
I had to turn away from him.
"Sometimes the start of something good begins during something bad,"
he said.
"We don't get to pick when these things happen."
"I know, but I don't think I can do this. And I don't think I can stay here." We peered at each other quietly across the table.
"So I don't really want to be that guy who always talks about trees,"
he said. I snorted. "But..."
"Redwoods,"
he said. I wiped under my eyes. "The oldest trees in the world."
"Yes. They get that way by supporting each other. They intertwine their roots with the roots of other redwoods, and it gives them stability. A redwood tree alone would fall."
He paused.
"You are not alone, Charlotte. Let me help you."
"How?" I asked. "What do I do?"
"You put down roots. You've got me. You've got John here, Izzy, and Gabe nearby. All people who would protect you, look out for you. I can get to you in 5 seconds, and if I'm not here, John can. Stay."
I looked away from him. Like staying wasn't all I wanted. I wanted to put down roots, to stop running, to stand my ground. I wanted to keep living in the apartment we just painted with the friendly property manager and the cute boy across the hall. But my location had just been compromised. George could be on his way here right now. And even if he didn't see that video, he'd find me eventually. He always did. But then, if I knew that, what was the point? Why go? Izzy was right. I'd never be more ready. I was trained. I was armed. And every time I ran, all I was doing was putting off the inevitable. I was going to come face to face with my stalker one day or another. He would never stop. It was going to happen. So why not here? And just like that, I made the decision. I was done being chased out of my own life. I was done locking my jail cell from the inside. I still couldn't date Seth. My reasoning for that hadn't changed. It was one thing to accept his help. It was another thing to make him a target. But if I had a neighbor who was willing to look out for me, someone aware of my situation who was just a few feet from getting here if I needed him, I'd take it. He was right. A lone tree was a fall risk. If George was coming, I'd be here, waiting. Charlotte. Chapter 9. The stairs were back. It was Monday, 5 p.m., just as promised. Seth and I stood at the top of the landing, watching the workers load up their trucks and drive off. We'd put away our outdoor living room. No more pool. No more anything. Seth was back in the boot and on crutches. He'd officially done his ankle in. I looked out over the carport. I felt exposed.
"Okay,"
he said.
"So my door's cameras in, and John's having cameras installed in the carport the day after tomorrow. What else do you need? How else can I make you feel safe?"
"Well, this is more than enough, Seth. Thank you."
"I'll keep my motion alerts on 24 hours,
he said.
"When I go back to work in a few weeks, I'll call John if I see anything, and I can't get there before he can."
I gave him a soft smile. "How are you single?" I feel like the ladies would have set you up with their granddaughters by now.
Oh, they tried, believe me. Bonsai night is like an involuntary round of speed dating.
I snorted.
I just think I have a very specific type,
he said. Which is what?
Heavily armed, slightly weird accountants?
I laughed.
You're sure I can't take you out on a date?
He said. I took in a deep breath. I'm sure. We stood there in silence, looking out over the carport. I think Izzy and Gabe are a thing.
I think they're a thing too,
he said. She doesn't really trust men, I said.
Well, he's a good one. She doesn't have anything to worry about.
She's a good one too, I said. A little hard to get close to at first, but worth waiting for. I felt him look at me.
You are too, you know.
What?
Worth waiting for.
I peered over at him. I'm sure there's another heavily armed, slightly weird accountant out there for you.
But will she like my tree puns?
I'd be stumped if she didn't. He chuckled. Then the mirth faded out, and he looked at me a little sad.
You're still not allowed to watch that show without me,
he said quietly. I had to swallow down a lump in my throat. I promise I won't. He gave me a half-hearted smile. My heart reached for him. I gently pulled her back in. They say it's better to have loved and lost than to never have loved at all. I wasn't sure I agreed. Something told me I'd never get over the loss of this. It was early and so new, but I could see all the places it could have gone anyway, where it should have gone. Instead, Seth would just be a friend. An open field of flowers that I could see from my prison. Cool, fresh air while I suffocated in my little box. And one day, I'd look at the motion on my doorbell, and he'd be coming home with someone else, and I had to accept this. And all the other things that had been taken from me.
Oh, I forgot,
he said, breaking into my thoughts.
I got this.
He went to his apartment and grabbed something by the door. He held it up proudly. A baseball bat with a sock, I smiled. Let me see it. He handed it to me. Nice, I said. Wood. Heavy. I love it. He checked his watch.
I have to feed Swim Shady. Want to come inside for a sec?
No, I want to stand out here another minute.
Okay. I'll be right back. Then we can go water your plants.
You haven't given up on them? He paused halfway in the door.
I haven't given up on anything, Charlotte.
He limped in on his crutches and shut the door behind him. I waited a moment, standing there at the top of the stairs, leaning on the baseball bat. I looked out over the view I'd fallen in love with over the last 3 days. I was going to miss sitting out here. It wouldn't feel safe now. But I really did love it while it lasted. The clouds against the blue sky, the palm trees swaying. I wanted more. I wanted to go with Seth to the pool, a real one, or walk with him in one of his parks and let him show me his trees. I wanted to say yes when a boy I liked asked me on a date. I wanted... Something moved at the edge of the property line. The hairs on my arms stood up. I think I sensed him before I actually saw him, an unnatural energy that made my skin prickle. George. He came out from some bushes lining the parking lot, dirty, ragged, looking like he'd been living on the streets for the last month. I wouldn't have recognized him if his eyes didn't haunt my nightmares. I watched him stride across the lawn, making a beeline directly for me. He had a box cutter in his hand. It was weird. I wasn't more scared. In fact, I wasn't scared at all for some reason. My heart was pounding and adrenaline flooded my system, but I wasn't afraid. Something else was happening, something unexpected. Rage. Pure, unadulterated, feminine rage. How dare he? How dare he come here to this place that I'd started to love, to my home, to hurt me or hurt Seth, to steal my peace, to rob me of more than he already had? The last 2 years flashed before my eyes. I saw every time he made me uncomfortable, all the times he came into my work, and then all the times he made me scared. Standing by my car, looking into my windows, staring back at me from a mugshot. All the times I couldn't see him at all, when nothing but the thought of him shrank me and pushed me into a corner and backed me in. The jobs I couldn't have, the experiences I couldn't enjoy, the man I couldn't date. Angry didn't cover it. I was a ball of fury, a supernova. I was the one who was dangerous. Izzy was right. I wasn't the same woman I'd been when he first laid eyes on me. I knew how to protect myself now. I knew how to fight. I was fit and strong. I was underestimated and beyond done. All the self-defense training I'd learned over the last 2 years activated, except for one core thing Izzy drilled into me. I ran in his direction instead of away. I jogged down the steps and stalked toward him, bat in hand. He looked almost elated. What a thrill to catch me out in the open, full view. How lucky. But when he got close enough that I could hear him rambling about prophecies and whatever the hell else he liked to go on about, I stopped and held my ground. "Do not come any closer to me, or I will defend myself," I said, firm and clear. He closed the gap. I raised the bat and swung. He let go of the box cutter to grab it. The sock slid off in his hand. He staggered backward. I swung again, aiming low, and cracked him right across the kneecaps. I heard the bones break, and he dropped like a screaming sack of rice. Then I did it again for good measure. And that was it. It was almost anticlimactic. 5 seconds, tops. I stepped back, panting, my attacker neutralized, kicked the box cutter out of reach, dropped the bat. My ears started to ring. I began to shake. Then Seth was there. He was calling 911. I was being taken back up to my apartment. Sirens. Police arrived. An ambulance came. Izzy's car screeched into the parking lot. It was over. And I was free.
Seth, Chapter 10. There was chaos in the half hour after the incident. John came, Gabe next, and the cops showed up. They took my statement. Izzy got there and ran up to Charlotte inside, where the police were getting her account of the events. When I knew Charlotte was in good hands, I used it the moment to make my way outside and over to the ambulance. "Hey, do you mind if I talk to him for just a sec?" I asked the EMT, loading the gurney with George on it into the back of the rig. "His knees are shattered. We really need to get him." "I only need a moment," I said. "It's important." The EMT looked at his partner. His partner looked at me. Just a harmless guy on crutches. He shrugged. "Whatever. Make it fast, though." I leaned over the man who had been terrorizing the woman I'd been falling in love with. He didn't look like a monster. But then monsters rarely do.
"Who are you?"
he rasped, clearly hurting. "Good." "I'm Seth," I said. "I live here, across from Charlotte. Have you ever heard of the Western Sycamore Tree?" He grimaced in pain.
"Huh?"
"They're a protected species in California. So once one's in the ground, it's staying put. They can live up to 600 years. So if you were to bury something under one of them, chances are that thing would never be discovered. At least, not for a few centuries." I leaned in. "If you ever come back here," I whispered, "you won't find her. You'll find me. And then no one will ever find you." I held his wide-eyed gaze for a long, purposeful moment. Then I straightened. "All done with him, boys. Thanks." He yelped in agony while they pushed him the rest of the way into the ambulance. The police were coming out with Izzy as I made my way up the stairs. The cops jogged past me down the steps, and Izzy paused on the landing.
"We're heading out to see if we can find George's car in the neighborhood."
she said.
You got this?
She nodded over her shoulder to her best friend's apartment. I definitely do. She studied me.
You're a good one, Seth.
Thank you.
I'll still kill you if you hurt her, though.
You still think you need to? Looks like she could just kill me herself. She tried to look serious, but she couldn't. We shared a proud smile. She gave me one final nod, then she walked past me down the steps. I came in and shut the door behind me. Charlotte was sitting at her kitchen table, clutching tissues. When she saw me, she got up. I set my crutches against the wall, and she closed the space between us and threw herself into my arms. "He's gone," I whispered. "You did it." She melted into me, and I folded around the extra space and pressed my nose to her hair. I kept my promises. I meant every single thing I said to that piece of shit. If he ever came back, I had a chainsaw with his name on it and a public park in need of a new tree. But I didn't think he'd be back. Not walking, anyway. Charlotte was a bigger force to be reckoned with than she gave herself credit for. "I don't know if you need to hear this," I said, "but you beat the shit out of that guy." She did a little laugh cry into my neck.
"I can't believe it's over,"
she whispered. "It is really, really over." I kissed the top of her head and tightened my arms. "It's time to celebrate, I think. What do you want to go do?" I asked. She made space between us and looked up at me.
"Anything?"
"Anything and anywhere you want." She sniffled, gazing at me with those pretty brown eyes that I couldn't say no to, even on the first day.
"How about a date?"
she asked. A grin spread across my face.
"I want to go to dinner,"
she said.
"At a restaurant with lots of indefensible spaces. I want to go see a movie, and I don't want to sit in an aisle near an exit because it gives me the fastest escape route. I want to get ice cream after in a place with tons of windows. Oh, and I want to do this."
She stood on her toes, and she kissed me. My heart burst in my chest. This did it. It was officially over for me. I was done for. I think I'd been done for a while. I slipped my hands over her cheeks, and I kissed her back. It was slow and gentle and perfect. The first few moments of us. A blink of an eye for a redwood, but timeless for me. She pulled away out of breath.
"Wow,"
she said against my mouth. I smiled. "Yeah.
You didn't tell me you were a good kisser,"
she said. "Well, I don't like to brag about myself. I let the ladies do it for me."
"I'm going to have to let them know about this so they have the most up-to-date info."
I laughed, and she beamed at me. I brushed a lock of hair behind her ear. "Ready to go?" I asked.
"Yeah."
She cocked her head.
"Hey, I saw you by the ambulance. Did you say something to him?"
"Oh, you know me. I was just talking to him about trees." She smiled and kissed me again.
Charlotte. Epilogue. 6 months later.
"Be so fucking for real," Izzy said. "You're cheating. You have to be cheating. Nobody has this many of those cards."
Gabe looked wounded.
"Babe, that hurts. Please collect 4.
She scowled, and Seth and I shared an amused look. It was our monthly game night on the landing. Team Botanical Sexism versus the Hellhounds. Every month for the last 6 months, we brought the furniture outside, set it up at the top of the stairs, and had Gabe and Izzy over for cocktails, appetizers, and games.
"Next month you're hosting,"
Seth said, organizing his cards.
"Damn, you're not even gonna let us get settled in first?"
Gabe said.
Nope,
Seth and I said at the same time. Gabe and Izzy were moving into my apartment, because in less than a week, I was moving into Seth's.
We debated which unit to take. He was okay moving into my place, if I preferred. We did spend all that time painting it. But I had to agree that the fig tree outside his bedroom window sold it.
It's a lot of work hosting game night,
Seth said. Fine, Izzy said. We'll host, but I'm not cooking.
I'll cook,
Gabe said.
I can make those wings you like with the lemon pepper.
Izzy narrowed her eyes at him. I think I might like living with you.
I hope so. You made me take down my towel.
Izzy gave Gabe an unapologetic, playful look. He grabbed her and pulled her onto his lap and kissed her. She made a joyful noise I thought I'd never in a million years hear from her. She was a lioness turned kitten in his arms. I loved it. I couldn't believe how different life was now, how happy. I was back to working in an office. I got to get dressed and stop for coffee on the way and interact with other humans. I felt like one of those dead plants on my balcony that had been brought back to life. And I was teaching self-defense classes with Izzy on the side. I was sort of a legend now. The story about my last encounter with George went viral. The same neighbor who posted the video of me on the landing got the whole thing on her doorbell camera. This one, we didn't ask her to take down. The comments were eye-opening. It was sad to learn how many women had experiences so similar to mine. They found empowerment in my story. Everyone wants to do something that matters, leave a legacy. I was proud that this one was mine, even if it did suck while it was happening.
I'll tell you what I am looking forward to,
Seth said, organizing his cards.
Having a co-parent for Swim Shady.
Swim Shady definitely needs another adult in the house, I said. And I'm just glad I don't have to take care of my plants anymore.
Me too. It was hard to watch.
I gasped.
I'm just kidding, babe. Those plants should have tried harder.
I laughed, and he smiled at me before leaning over and giving me a kiss. My forest. All three of them, really. Our roots intertwined to give each other strength.
Hey, you guys want to meet us for lunch tomorrow?
Gabe asked, talking to us, but nuzzling noses with his girlfriend.
How about the meatballs at IKEA?
Seth said.
We need to go.
Izzy nodded. I love IKEA, and I need to get some stuff. Perfect, I said. We'll all go to IKEA. Time to imagine a life together.
We hope you have enjoyed this Brilliance audio production. Performance copyright 2025 by Brilliance Publishing, Inc. All rights reserved. For further information concerning this program or other Brilliance audio titles, please visit our website at brilliancepublishing.com. No part of this recording may be played for an audience or reproduced in any form. It may not be streamed, downloaded, broadcast, or copied without written permission. Address all inquiries to Brilliance Audio, P.O. Box 887, Grand Haven, Michigan, 49417.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.